Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shalom Chavarim to all our listeners locally on 1220 AM radio or live on the net at WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And you could say, we are missionaries to the church today to move them out of that lukewarm, rule-by-the-people, Laodicean church into the Jesus expectors of the Philadelphia church. And if you listen very much, you'll know what I just said, what that was all about. And by making the word your priority and passion, we help you to demystify some of the more difficult passages by using some very basic Hebraic roots from our first century fathers, especially about the end times, because we are in the end times. And tonight, we continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Joel. And a reminder, you can re-listen to this broadcast later this week, as well as other programs, all labeled for you to choose from, and it's a wealth of biblical information. You simply go to shofarministries.net, and you can have access to all we've ever talked about, I believe, in the years that we've been on the air. Let's start with a prayer tonight, like as we always do. Abba, we bless you today, and we thank you for the opportunity to tell others about your prophetic word. Wake up our sleepy souls. Really, we're sleeping. And put the desire for the fire in us. I just want to lift up the folks that called and wrote to us to you tonight. Brad and Esther especially. Answer us as you always do in your mercy. And you are merciful. You are rich in mercy and always waiting expectantly for us to repent, knowing that you can wash us clean from all our sins and take us up before the great tribulation. And Lord, we're looking forward to seeing you. And thank you for this program again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Toda rabah.
Ah, thank you too.
And shalom to all of you joining us live right here tonight and every Tuesday at 8 p.m. You know, John, you said something that we're just longing to see his return.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, there's a special crowd waiting for you if you're doing that. It's those that are expecting and have a passion for his return. Timothy says there's a special crown of righteousness.
Oh, so that is wonderful news. That is. Right. And we're going to be more wonderful news in the book of Joel. We're going to hear about the tribulation, if you want to call it wonderful, I guess. But we've got a lot of things to
wonderful that we won't be here
that
for.
We won't be here for it, yeah. And of course, before we get to that, there are a lot of things going on that we need to talk about, because that's for sure. We want to mention how since the beginning of the year gas prices looked bad, and of course, Sheila, you said they would come down for a while until the election is passed.
I did.
Because Obama wants happy people.
Happy people.
In November, and that is happening. They're kind of still high, you know, to me they are. But going down is certainly better than going up. But what do you think about next year for the gas prices and everything?
Oh, I think that right after the election, they're going to start going up again.
I knew you'd say that.
Certainly before the holidays. You know, I did read an article that said Saudi Arabia purposely upped production to help get Obama elected. So do your road trips now. Enjoy it while you can. 2013 might be pretty gloomy.
Okay, I will make sure I do that. And so, what's the biggest story that relates to Bible prophecy today?
Well, besides Syria still fighting the rebels, do you know that the rebels named its army the Free Army? They did. But anyway, Syria shot down a Turkish fighter jet last Friday.
Hey, that wasn't a good thing, was it?
Hardly. But remember, I told you last week that a large-scale joint Russian and Chinese and Iranian military exercise was to take place in Syria in a few weeks. And remember how I said once that happens, it would certainly deter the United States and Europe from helping the rebels oust Assad after that, unless they did something prior to their arrival.
Well, Sheila, I do remember that because I was sitting right here.
Yes, you were.
Right here in this chair when you said that.
Yeah.
And like so many things that we have reported and told you to watch for, they seem to come to pass, don't they?
Well, because we have the Bible, of course.
That's right.
But this morning, just this morning, large numbers of Turkish troops with artillery moved to the Syrian frontier. Now, you know, Turkey borders with Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved to the Syrian frontier to help the rebels and some defectors from the Syria's army actually are defecting. The Syria's army is defecting into the rebels.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And also some British special forces who crossed from Turkey into northern Syria. So there's been some fire going on.
So they made that move that you said that they would have to make.
Yeah.
Before Russia and China
did. They
didn't
want to wait for that to happen.
Right. They moved first.
And then, of course, soon after that happened, we got reports of heavy fighting around the compound guarding the Shah Assad's palace. And he's on kind of like a mountain, not a big mountain or anything. It's nominal, I guess, but it's still up. And it overlooks Damascus, which is getting some damage.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure yet how badly, but, again, it's just begun. And Assad, I understand, is just determined to fight to his death.
Wow.
So the ruin of Damascus is prophesied, as we talk about almost every week, in Isaiah 17:1. And, again, it's every week looks a little bit closer.
Yeah, so if you want to know about Damascus, just ask us.
Damascus. Okay, well, this assault on the Assad regime also coincided with Russian President Putin's visit to Israel. In fact, I believe he left this morning, and then this started.
Hmm.
But he met with Netanyahu and Abbas. Of course, Netanyahu is Prime Minister of Israel, and Abbas is the Palestinian leader.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was said behind closed doors, but what happened today, I don't think made Putin very happy, because he's repeated over and over again, no chance for foreign intervention on his end of it. He was had objections to that totally.
Yeah, he wanted no foreign intervention. Of course, that's what they would be, foreign intervention, but he doesn't see it that way. What's he going to do now?
Boy, I don't know, but I think he's going to do something.
I think he is, too. Now, the other biggest news would, of course, be Egypt's election, which we have talked about throughout last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama's really gotten his way in the Middle East, it looks like, because...
Well, he likes the Muslim Brotherhood, and so does Hillary Clinton. I mean, she's got direct ties with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, you were saying something about her chief of staff.
Right, is a woman,
and she's a Muslim, and that her mother is part of the Muslim Sisterhood.
which is
just the other branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. I'm sure they have the same interests.
Yes, the female version.
The female version.
But also the wife of the new president of Egypt, Morsi, whichever, you depending on what you're reading, it's either a U or an O. I guess either is correct, because they don't really have vowels.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll call him Morsi.
But apparently his wife served alongside the mother, who is chief of staff, with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, so the ties get even, entanglement gets... Oh.
Yeah, and Obama, calls the shots, I'm afraid to say.
Well, yeah, the United States, we always do in the Middle East. We have been.
Yeah.
Looks like we're calling shots for the other side, though, now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Well...
The powder keg going there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this is the first time Egypt has ever been in a democratic election. Also the first time that a non-secular government won. Now, when I say non-secular, I mean non-religious, because Islam is their religion.
Mm-hmm.
But Mubarak and the military and all that has been what they call a secular government, whereas any religion can be there and they're left alone and things like that.
Sort of like here.
Yes, but now with this Morsi guy, he is definitely wants to bring back Sharia law. Although he's not admitting that yet, in public. He said it behind the scenes.
So are you saying that that's going to happen?
That's their goal.
That's their goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's highly Islamist. And did you know that he was actually jailed by the previous president, Hosni Mubarak, and now he succeeded him as president?
That's
awful.
It is awful, because there was a good reason he was in jail, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And now the tables are turned, and it's all because of our intervention.
I know.
And this administration's particularly this administration's intervention.
Oh, yeah, and they keep saying, well, they want democracy. Well, democracy is not the same definition as our democracy.
Sharia law is not democracy.
It is. So we differ on that. But anyway, I must tell you that the military, who took over when Mubarak left, they have always ruled alongside the Egypt's president, whoever it was. And you know, they only lost by a small margin in this.
Oh, I know. This
was
what, a 51%, something like that, or 52%.
And even though Barack Obama told the military to step aside gracefully, they are not willing to give up power yet. Which is why, last month, fearing a loss, they actually tore up the Constitution.
Wow. Well, they had that right, because last month they were in power.
Yeah, they could do it.
They're not happy.
So now Morsi's powers are slight until a new constitution is compiled, although the Muslim Brotherhood say that the Quran is their constitution. But Egypt's military wants to keep involved, and I'm sure economics has a big role here. So I'm seeing maybe some kind of compromise where perhaps they can work together. Actually, I would think the Muslim Brotherhood would need a military. Maybe they can pick their defense minister from their generals. I don't know yet.
I know, but this whole thing reminds me of the overthrow of the Shah of Iran back in the 70s.
Yeah.
It was similar to this, wasn't it?
Under Carter, I might add.
Oh, yeah.
let me see if I can remember. Yeah, the Iranians, of course, they were quickly taken in by this promising message of the Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yeah.
He promised them everything, newfound democratic freedoms, blah, blah, blah. Only to later show his true face and plunged Iran into darkness and repression on a scale never imagined under the Shah of Iran, who, by the way, we liked, and I think we were even allies for a while.
Well, I think we actually put him in office.
Yeah, something. Yeah, I don't know what Carter was.
And we had a lot of business ties in Iran. I had my father-in-law worked there on their phone systems.
Well, Carter was a Arab sympathizer for sure, just like Obama is. But already we can see the Muslim Brotherhood are hinting at going down a similar path. But like in Iran, it's not really the president that anyone should really worry about. Rather, it's the religious forces using the presidency as a puppet.
Yeah. So do you know who the puppeteer is in this case?
Yes, I do. his name is, he's a Muslim Brotherhood, Supreme Guide Muhammad al-Badi, who advanced Morsi, whatever his name is, as the candidate confidant. And he just believed that he would promote the movement's core tenets of imposing Sharia. Again, they call that real democracy.
Well, it sounds like they don't have the same definition of democracy that we have.
Yeah, like I just said.
Yeah, this is. Well, what about this peace treaty with Israel? Because Morsi, isn't he going to uphold it, he just said?
Well, again, he's saying things in public that he's not saying behind the scenes. Right now he says he's going to uphold it, but maybe just make a few changes.
Oh, okay.
So for Israel right now, it's probably going to be the same.
Yeah, well, that isn't that great because, missiles from Gaza and the Sinai, they're still flying at you. So what good is it?
Yeah, well, they've come down and from last week, that's for sure. I think there's like 150 or something. Yeah. They only had like 3 this week. But anyway.
That's good news.
Still, their tenet is that they've stated many times to take back Jerusalem and make it the capital of their caliphate of Islamic sovereignty. And they are moving in that direction, and they are gaining.
Wow. Hey, what about Putin going to Israel today? Or yesterday, was it?
Okay, yeah. Last little bit of news. That was kind of important. I understand the main reason Putin went there is to thank Israel for the memorial that they had just finished to the Red Army for finally crushing Nazism way back.
Yes, and they did do that.
And he's Putin is not happy with the Muslim Brotherhood. He does not like the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood is taking over the Middle East. And we know Russia is on Iran's side, which is a Shia Muslim Brotherhood, are Sunnis.
Okay.
And Russia is selling billions of dollars worth of arms and is sending naval forces to Syria right now. And, of course, we know that he's been selling billions of dollars worth of nuclear technology to Iran.
Wow.
So, but anyway, he doesn't like Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And if you saw the pictures of their meeting last week, you saw that they were both cold-faced.
Oh.
But it's mainly because of the Muslim Brotherhood. And who knows what he said to Netanyahu. I know he would love to drive a further wedge between him and Barack Obama. So he's saying he doesn't like Iran, maybe to Israel. He doesn't like the idea of them getting a nuclear bomb, but his actions speak louder than words, and our Bibi is not dumb. But Bibi Netanyahu doesn't want the Muslim Brotherhood surrounding Israel either. So anyhow, they did have decent stability with Mubarak, as we know, and Assad and Jordan. But now Egypt and soon Syria, again under the Muslim Brotherhood, which Hamas has been formed from, it's just not a good thing.
Mm-mm.
So I am assuming Putin made an offer to Netanyahu to perhaps help Assad stay in power, and that would really infuriate Obama. So I doubt anything tangible with Putin's visit will occur. But again, who knows what goes on behind closed doors.
Yeah, especially politics these days and on the world stage politics, too, especially. You only know what they want you to know. And that's
one thing, right?
You can know is they only know you. We're only going to find out what they want us to find out.
That's right. Okay, before we take a break, how about if you just review what we've gotten so far in Joel?
Okay.
And then we'll take our break and come back and get right into verse, I think it was 16.
Okay. Let's see. Where did we leave off? Okay. Let's see. We're still in chapter 2. In chapter 1, the land of Judah had just experienced a horrendous and devastating divine judgment from the Almighty of locusts, drought, and widespread fire that devoured all the open pastures, destroyed the crops, in other words. And then God begins to give insight to that catastrophe by giving Joel an end-time prophecy of a similar judgment, but with a much greater severity. Demonic locusts right out of the pit of the abyss. Now, I said abyss, not hell, okay? In the final days. And that all begins with a trumpet and a shout.
It does. And we talked about that, of course, last time. And I also wanted to bring out the fact that even John in Revelation chapter 4 at the end of the church age, I mean the Apostle John, not you, John.
Okay.
in Revelation 4:1, when he was told to come up here, he also heard the sound of a trumpet. Yeah. And, of course, we talked about how Paul talked about it in 1 Thessalonians and also
chapter 4 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'd say one more thing before we take a break. According to Daniel 9:27, the actual signing of a peace treaty or the confirmation of a peace treaty with the Antichrist, who is called the rider on the white horse, which is a counterfeit white horse,
right?
The man of perdition, actually begins, I believe, the tribulation period and the countdown of 2,520 days or 7,360-day years begins. And when we get back,
yes,
we're going to go into a little deeper about this tribulation time and some wedding terminology that
yes,
both Joel and Prophet Isaiah uses. So we're going to talk about that.
That will help you demystify what we're talking about.
That's right. Amen.
And so stay with us. And let me just remind you, all your donations are tax deductible to this ministry, and they're very vital as well. So please, you can use PayPal on our web or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations, and no matter how much they are, you automatically get put on Sheila's informative newsletter.
Even a dollar.
Even a dollar. And I'll tell you, these newsletters are good. I carried one around in my pocket the other day just so I could share it with people. So include your email address as well if you have one. Be sure to check it out, the webpage. Now, all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and it's just a wealth of information just waiting for you to find out. And we have the phone lines open, and the numbers for your end time questions, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. So stay with us. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back.
After a great song. Yeah. Don't you want to go?
Don't you want to go? I do.
Where do you want to go, John?
I want to go up.
That's right.
Would you like to make extra income or have a career with six-figure earning potential? We're the sales arm of a $3 billion international energy company looking to immediately recruit independent sales reps. Set your own hours, and we'll provide all the training and support to help you succeed. We're recruiting now, holding lunchtime and evening open houses to meet with prospective reps. Register online at ejobsnorthernohio.com. There's limited seating, so go to ejobsnorthernohio.com. Make a difference in your financial future today.
Ready, go.
Sorry, can't do it. Your turn in three. One, two, three.
I can't do it either. The only thing bad about the WHKW online sizzling summer auction is us trying to impersonate an auctioneer.
That's right. The WHKW online auction has more sizzling summer deals for our listeners than we've had in consecutive sizzling 90-degree days.
When you check out the sizzling summer auction at WHKWradio.com, you can bid on the following.
Family fun packs to African safari. Have a great family outing and see exotic animals right from your car.
An above-ground pool from Pools and Spas. Who wouldn't want a pool this time of year?
Gift certificates to a couple music centers. That's a perfect bid for the musician in your life.
We also have certificates for haircuts, food, upscale resale shops, sales training programs, expert photography, and even weight loss and smoking cessation plans.
We've run out of time to tell you about everything, so while you're sitting inside your cool home or office, get online and take advantage of these sizzling summer auction deals at WHKWradio.com.
AM 1220 The Word presents
Half-Price Deals!
It's half-price discounts from some of your favorite places to dine, shop, and get away.
Corleone's Ristorante in Parma, featuring the best in veal, steak, seafood, chicken, and pasta. Corleone's has earned the distinction as one of Cleveland's finest Italian restaurants. Get $50 worth of food for only $25.
For details, visit WHKWradio.com and click on the half-price deals banner. That's WHKWradio.com.
Y'all help us out with this one. Come on.
There's a beauty program going on in heaven. Construction carried out by God's own hand. 1,500 miles wide, mansions standing side by side. The streets are paved with gold throughout the land. Now they say there'll be no dying in that city. No sickness and no sorrow will be known. The feeble will be young, no division.
Salvation plan, can't you feel a stirring in your soul? Don't you wanna go?
I really like that. Can we just do that one more time?
Well, if you want to go, you'll hear it again, I'm sure.
Okay.
Let's go again.
Let's go again.
I know. I could listen to that song again. And it sounds like they want to hear it again, too.
I think that's it, though. Okay, we weren't sure when that ended.
That is great. That's a great song.
It is a great song.
If you ever wanted a description of soul music, that would be a good description, I think.
Well, and you know what? If they could have seen us dancing here in the studio, I think they would have just been really laughing, but... It makes me want to dance, and it makes me excited to know that we are going to go home.
That's right.
And that we're going to miss all this yucky stuff that we're
And it's more than yucky,
about.
A little bit more than yucky. It's terrifying, actually.
There is.
And,
I mean, to think of all these demons coming out of the abyss and
abyss, or the bottomless pit is another way you can put that. Anyway, you've been listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We're back after that song by the Crab Family called Don't You Want to Go. And our phone lines are open, and that number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, Shofar Ministries Hour, every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Why not recommend this program to a friend? And coming up on...
July 6th,
and I'm glad I got that straight. And every first Friday, this is how you figure this out, at Chester Christian Center... in Chesterland, Ohio, at 7 p.m. at 11815 Chillicothe Road, and that's Route 306. We will be there, Shofar Assembly.
That's
Sheila
right.
with her
Come
teaching.
Come and see me.
Come see Sheila. We will do some Messianic worship and praise
that's
music.
Great music.
And thank you very much. And all the folks that come out, they make it great, too. So Now we better get back to the Book of Joel. I want to continue
right.
in this. See, where did we leave off? You were talking about Daniel signing the confirmation of the white horse. And this bears repeating before we get into this. You know, we're talking about trumpets.
And we say this a lot, but it really needs to
be
said.
Yeah, we have to repeat this because it has to stick in our minds. And you got to remember, the last trump is not the seventh trump of Revelation 10. Okay? Now, when's the last trump? You know, we know that. We've been over this before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's just an idiom for the Feast of Trumpets.
Yes.
Okay, and that's a figure of speech that was used in first century Judaism.
That's right.
Okay.
And actually, I believe it's the last trumpet that's blown in Revelation 4:1 and also in Thessalonians, and it's actually called the last trumpet in Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it is on a Feast of Trumpets.
I do too.
Now, I don't know what year,
mm-hmm.
that's for sure, and I don't know what day. Because Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days.
That's right.
And I don't even know the hour.
It's true, because you don't know when the moon comes out.
Yeah, so don't write me and say, no one knows the day or the hour.
I remember.
I don't.
You know, if you missed this teaching, just go back. It's all archived at our shofarministries.net. I remember looking for the moon, actually, after this teaching we did this. And I would look for that new moon.
Yeah.
And a couple of Rosh Hashanahs, it was kind of predictable, but the last one, it fooled everybody. It came out at a weird time of the day.
You're just not sure which day.
You don't know, or the hour.
Yeah.
That's what I learned last time.
Anyway. Right, and that actually, now that I'm into it a little bit here, that whole phrase is an expression for Rosh Hashanah, because no one knew when that festival was coming, because it was the only festival that began on a new moon.
Right.
And we could go on and on about that, go back into our archives.
Yeah, check out showfarministries.net, it's all there.
Okay. Listen, John, I need for you to
continue reading now in chapter 2, where we left off last week at verse 15, it is, where we will see now another trumpet, but a different one from the trumpet blown in verse 1.
Okay. Verse, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly.
Okay. First of all, let's look at sacred assembly. Some Bibles say solemn assembly, same type of thing. And this is also a phrase that always refers to a particular feast, or some people call it an appointment of God. There's seven of them. But this is our sacred or solemn one, and it's always referring to Yom Kippur, because it is a very solemn occasion. Now, back in verse 1, the trumpet that was blown there came along with the expression, and you can probably see it in your Bibles as we're talking, because I'm sure y'all have your Bibles out, but with the expression of a shout or a very loud sound. And we told you this was a Rosh Hashanah terminology. It's not solemn. It's more joyful. It's the anniversary of the creation of the world. It's like New Year's Eve. Okay?
Very similar. Yep.
That's right. Now, this trumpet here in verse 15 comes along with another, a different expression. And it says, consecrate a fast. Now, right away, you know that this is Yom Kippur, because it's the only appointment where God demanded that they do a complete fast. And this is a 24-hour fast, by the way. And in your Bibles, it'll say afflict your soul. Now, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And by fasting, it does afflict that.
Yes, and that is still kept today.
Yes.
So, I thought I'd let you know.
Yes, it does. And Yom Kippur actually comes on the 10th day of Tishrei on the Hebrew calendar.
And then Rosh Hashanah is the first and second.
So this is 10 days after that, or if you want to get specific, there's 7 days in between.
Okay. And, oh, by the way, the list of the Hebrew months is on the webpage so that you can print it out even, I guess.
Oh,
you
I highly recommend that you print it out, cut it out, put it in the back of your Bible. I use mine all the time.
I know, and you should, you showed that to me, and that's a good thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. Because so many times in the Bible, you're going to say in the Bible, it says in the first month or the second month, or sometimes it'll use the word, but usually it's the number.
And I notice this handy little table will tell you it's the first month, and it'll give you the name of the month, and it, sometimes it has two names, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's really good. And I'll tell you,
Sheila. It corresponds to our calendar. I've got it on there also.
That's good. And, you know, Sheila, I got to say this to our listeners, but Sheila's one of those Christians that she walks what she talks. And and so when she says she has it taped in her Bible, she really does, you know. Well, that was a compliment.
It is a compliment, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I really do. So anyway, this trumpet now is associated with Yom Kippur, okay?
Okay.
So the first, in verse 1, it was Rosh Hashanah. Now we've got Yom Kippur. And just knowing these little basic truths helps you understand so much more. And we're going to go on, and I'm going to even tell you so much more.
Okay.
This is one of my most exciting verses in the
Bible. You seem very excited tonight. You want me to do
16.
16? Okay. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes, let the bridegroom go out from his chamber, and the bride from her dressing room.
Now, we're going to talk about this Jewish wedding terminology, but I just want you to see that this verse is telling us to come out of the chamber. We're going to go to Isaiah 26, where it's going to tell you to go into the chamber. And then we're going to explain all that. But first of all, sanctify the congregation. We all know what sanctify means. It means set them apart for service unto God.
Uh-huh.
And the Israelites, of course, were sanctified. And we are now sanctified as the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to, again, look at this wedding terminology. Like, John, tell me, who is the bridegroom?
That would be our Lord, Yeshua.
And who is the bride?
We are.
Okay. So, first, before I continue on, I do want to just do the next verse, and that's all we'll probably do today in Joel, just to get more confirmation that it's on Yom Kippur before we go into the other kind of topic.
Okay, So let's do verse 17. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?
Okay, and this is just to confirm the fact that it is on Yom Kippur, because this is when they would weep between the porch and the altar. The porch is Solomon's porch, and it was on the eastern side all the way down on the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And on Yom Kippur, they would go there and they would weep and they would ask for forgiveness. And they would say, please don't judge us because, you know, if we all die, then the nations would laugh at us and say, where is your God? Or they could rule over us. And they were praying and repenting for their sins.
Yes, there was a lot at stake there. And, of course, this is in part of the regular Rosh or Yom Kippur readings at the synagogue is this verse.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Sure. And well, it should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a Yom Kippur thing. And again, I can't stress it enough. What this ministry does is try to get you to understand just some very basic Hebraic roots, not a whole legalistic type thing. It's just very basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just by knowing that alone, you can get so much more out of your word when you're reading it.
You sure can. You sure can.
So basically, the porch and the altar, also called Solomon's porch, would have been the eastern area of Solomon's temple. So this would mean either closer to the front where the brazen altar would be, or what I think, probably closer to the back where the altar of incense would be in the holy place, which represented the prayers going up to God. Now, the people couldn't go into the holy place, okay, only the priest could.
Only the priest could, yeah.
So I could see them standing in the porch area, which was right next to that,
yeah,
and praying closer to the altar of incense.
I could see that, too, because the way it goes with Solomon's temple was that the priests, the Kohanim, would help the high priest in his duties as functioning as the high priest going into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur.
Okay.
He would actually need help doing this.
Right. He was only allowed to do it once a year.
Once a year, and there could be no mistakes made, and they really, really were concerned about the future of the nation,
mm-hmm,
and their sins.
Right. And remember now, here in Joel, they had just gone through a judgment, and God said, you better repent.
Yes.
And I just might relent.
So they're actually crying because they're repenting.
That's right. They are crying and they're repenting. They realize that they have sinned. Now, today, we realize that our sins are paid for at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when we sin, we know that it's the debt is paid. But I still think we should kind of be sorry for offending God and not take it so nonchalantly.
I do, too.
You
mean, when was the last time that any of us ever got so upset or sad about the sin that we have done that we were actually in tears over it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can remember that happening once in my life where I had sinned and I was,
once?
Well, I was a young kid and I really strayed. I got saved very young and I really strayed and I realized I had hurt my parents.
Yeah.
And I was broken up over it and I remember it very distinctly. And I've had some other, not quite as heavy as that, things, but sin is serious.
Right, and I think really basically the church today takes it a little too nonchalant.
I think so.
Really,
I think so too.
But that's just my opinion. But I also wanted to mention in John 23 that we see that Jesus actually walked in Solomon's porch. You want to read that real quick?
John 23, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
That's right.
Okay.
So there you go. Now, let's get right into the marriage customs for the bridegroom and the bride.
Okay, because that verse was about bridegroom coming out of his chamber and the bride coming out of her makeup area. Oh, it wasn't makeup area. What was it?
It's the hadar.
The hadar, okay.
But we'll talk about that in a second. But let's first of all go through the marriage customs. And first of all, the groom would be betrothed and promised her, his significant other, that he would return after the bridal chamber, called a hadar, was ready at his father's house. Now, at the proper time, the father would say to go get her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was never sure when that was, although hints could be given by his friends just how close it was.
Mm-hmm.
So he came for her, usually at night, shouting along the way.
And when she heard him, she could run and meet him, and he would take her to the Hadar, or this room of, Jesus called it a mansion, because it was in heaven. And he would give her some gifts. She calls him her king. They stay in there for a period of 7. Now, I say that because it was usually a week, Shabuah, but it could be 7 weeks if they were very rich. But it had to be 7, because 7 is the number of completion. Now, if that week or that 7 was not fulfilled, the marriage was not official. Case in point was with Jacob and Leah. Would you read Genesis 29:25-27?
I'm glad you put this in here, because I was going to ask you, where is this in the Bible? But yeah, it is. When he realized,
Jacob,
that it was Leah, and he came running to Laban. Well, let's see. We'll just hear the passage. What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. So fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also, meaning Rachel, for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years.
Okay.
So fulfill
her
your week.
Her honeymoon.
Yep.
And if they didn't, it was not official. That's how important it was. So, anyhow, after intimacy, he would hold out the bloodstained sheets to prove the covenant had been done and it occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 7th day, the groom would bring out his new unveiled wife. Now, she doesn't have a veil anymore. And they would then proceed back to the wife's family for the official feast, which lasted another week.
Hmm.
Now, there's pictures galore here.
Oh, aren't there?
First, our betrothal, of course, is Jesus, and he gave the blood of the covenant on the cross. So that's already been shed. But Jesus comes unexpectedly, just like the groom would come unexpectedly. We will hear a shout of a trumpet, as she would hear also.
Mm-hmm.
We go and we meet him in the air, and then are taken to the Father's house in heaven. We learn much more about Jesus for 7 years to fulfill our Shabuah, period of 7. It'll be years in this case. Then we return to our original home of earth, where he reveals to all his wife. And that's Revelation 19:7. And we feast as we celebrate our reception supper, again for 7 days. I believe this will be the time of the Feast of Tabernacles.
And is this the wedding supper of the Lamb that we hear about in Revelation?
The supper. It's back at the on earth.
Okay.
At the wife's, well, at her previous home.
Okay.
After he's cleaned it all up, of course.
Oh, okay. And yeah.
Well, we're going to be coming back with him. We're going to see him finish that job.
Right. And this is after those terrible 7 years of tribulation.
Yes.
So we'll be in heaven for 7 years.
Yes.
Learning,
well, tribulations going on down here.
Really getting to know our groom.
That's right.
In a more intimate way, getting our rewards. Some of us will be very surprised.
Seeing him crowned king. That's right. We're doing all that.
A lot of people, I think, are going to say, "Oh my gosh, he's Jewish."
But now, at the end of the tribulation,
yes,
we are going to come out, as Joel said, come out of the Hadar. If you look at that word chamber, it's Hadar, and the bride from her dressing room, which is Huppah, okay, and those are all wedding terminology phrases, and we are under the Huppah of heaven, of course, but I want you to see Isaiah 26, where he actually tells them to go into the Hadar while the indignation is going on earth.
Okay, indignation being an idiom for the tribulation.
That's right, and this is all Old Testament.
Okay, and this is Isaiah 26. And
the whole chapter, by the way, is excellent.
Well, I'm just going to read verse 20.
Well, actually, hold on a second.
Oh, okay.
I want to say a few things.
Okay.
Chapter 26 actually starts out with, in verse 2, open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. Right away, chapter 26 starts out with, first of all, in that day. Okay, so
that tells
that's
us.
In the 7th day. And it begins with opening the gates of heaven, which is another expression for Rosh Hashanah.
Open the gates.
And why? So that we can enter in.
There's another figure of speech, another idiom.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I study, and again, people, I know if this is your first or second time hearing me, you're not going to get this right away. But after a while, and you see all the little pieces and parts come together like this puzzle and connecting the dots, you'll understand why I say I think the rapture will be on one of the 2 days of mm-hmm. a Rosh Hashanah. And actually, James tells us it'll be in the fall when the harvest comes in. I mean, really. But anyway, we don't have time to go into that right now. I hope you'll read the whole thing. It's all about the righteous, and then it goes into the Raphim, which are the wicked dead.
Oh.
And but in verse 19, and if you don't mind, I'm just
you read it.
I'm just going to go ahead.
You've got it.
He's
right
explaining
there.
The resurrection. It says your dead shall live. He's talking about God's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Together with my dead body, they shall arise, awake and sing. You who dwell in the dust. This is all resurrection.
Absolutely.
For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Now here's the great part. At the resurrection, or the rapture if you're alive, he says in verse 20, come, my people, enter your chambers, your hadar, and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while, 7 years I might add,
mm-hmm.
until the indignation is past. That is the tribulation, and you can confirm that by Daniel 8:19.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have time to go there right now, but I hope that you all will that's listening. Verse 21 says, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place. Now, let me back up here. Here we see, he says, come, my people, and into your chambers. We saw Joel says, you can come out of your chambers, and that's on a Yom Kippur. Now, I believe that if Yom Kippur is when you come out of the chamber after 7 years, on biblical calendar, that means that you will enter in on Yom Kippur as well.
Right. To make it, that would make it a complete seven.
Yes. Biblical.
Biblical, yeah.
So 10 days before that is Rosh Hashanah, so that all fits the puzzle.
Yes, it does.
And he says, go in and hide yourself till the indignation is past. And then the Lord comes out of his place, verse 21, to finish or to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Remember in Revelation 19, he comes down now and he finishes it off.
Mm-hmm.
And the earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. And it goes into in that day, the Lord with his severe sword, that's Revelation 19, great and strong, will punish the Antichrist called Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. And where does the beast come out of?
Comes out of the sea of peoples, I guess that's nations.
In Revelation 13, that's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it goes on, and I have to say that we're going to have to close soon here because...
Well, that's a shame because this is so cool that Revelation and the book of Joel just kind of going hand in hand
here. Oh, it's so exciting, too. And by the way, for your homework, if you could just read... verse 12 of chapter 27, and you'll notice it'll say, in that day again. But verse 13, it says, the great trumpet, and that is an idiom for Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur.
So again, it's more confirmation that not only do we enter on a Yom Kippur, but we are going to leave heaven on a Yom Kippur as well.
And we're going to leave everyone with that tonight. And I've got to ask you, have you made Jesus Lord over your life?
Boy, I wouldn't wait too much longer.
Don't wait until the tribulation. If you are concerned that you might not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not been born again, hey, we talked about repentance. Get on your knees. Ask him into your life. Repent. Turn away. Stop doing those sins and admit to God that you are a sinner. And then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He's the Messiah of all. And he will meet you. And you will be saved. And he made it very simple so we could get saved and get away from the tribulation. But remember, it's your choice. So choose him. Make it your decision. Okay? Do that for us tonight. You decide where we spend eternity.
That's right. And I also wanted to say, too, since we have a moment, on July 6th when we meet at Chester Christian in Chesterland, we will be going over all the rapture scriptures, and there's tons of them.
Oh.
And a lot of them are from the Old Testament, like the one we just went over. You know, enter into the chamber until
the indignation has passed. What could be more plain than that?
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that this weekend. Okay. Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like, or you would like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office 440-834-9006. A reminder, we'll be back here again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. And remember, we're on the web, www.whkradio.com. And please remember the donations. They're so important to keep this Hebraic Roots Ministry on the air. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. You could use PayPal on our webpage, or just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. We're going to leave you tonight with the Aaronic blessing, as always. Yevrecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again next Tuesday
at 8 p.m. Till then, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe.
Yeah, look that up. Psalm 122, verse 6.
That's what we should pray for. Amen. See you next Tuesday.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.